Come follow me. That sounds like a really simple idea, and it is. It sounds like something that's very attractive, and it is, because I really want to be like Jesus. It's also a really scary thing, because I know where Jesus went. He went to the cross. He had to carry that crown of thorns. And we'll talk over the next year about the good things that come because we follow Jesus, and we're not going to ignore where that path is ultimately going to lead us, because we know where that path ultimately led Jesus. You know, we're going to begin this morning looking at the call of the apostles. That's really kind of the first time that we're introduced to Jesus. The information about his life from the time that he was born until he started his personal ministry is very, very scant. Most of the information that we have just says that he grew in favor with God and with man. He did on one occasion go to the temple and left his, he was left there. His parents had decided to go back home, and on the way they discovered that Jesus wasn't with them. And they went back and looked for him. He found him, and he was in the temple. But you know, the real interesting part of Jesus' life begins when he starts gathering around him his disciples. Matthew, the fourth chapter, we're going to read from about verse 18 down through verse 25. And we'll just note a couple of things about the way that Jesus called his apostles. One day Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. There he saw two brothers. There was Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the lake because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. "I will make you fishers of people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. They were James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee. As they were preparing their nets, Jesus called out to them, and right away they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went all over Galilee. He taught in the synagogue. He preached the good news of God's kingdom. He healed every illness and sickness the people had. News about him spread all over Syria. People brought to him all that were ill with different kinds of sickness. Some were suffering in great pain. Others were controlled by demons. Some were shaking wildly. Others couldn't move at all. Jesus healed all of them. Marvelous. This is where I want to be, where there's healing. Large crowds, it says, followed him. Some people came from Galilee, from the area of the 10 cities, and from Jerusalem and Judea. Others came from across the Jordan River. People were drawn to Jesus. He is a character of great attractiveness. Not his physical presence. I don't know anything about his physical presence. But the life that he was living just inspired people. People wanted to be around him. But think about the way that he called his apostles. That Jesus calls us from life as we know it. those two men that he called first, Peter and Andrew, they're fishermen. That's what they were doing. They were casting a net. That's the way they fished back then. They were casting a net. Jesus said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. He's going to change them completely. Not just a little bit. It's not a call that says, add me to your life. It's a call that says, I want to control your life absolutely. Look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24. You know, this is not just for the apostle. Jesus saying, come, follow me. Absolutely. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24, begins, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whosoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. And then he asks a really pointed question. He said, what good would it be for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? What can man give in exchange for their soul? The illustration is in Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse, well, we're going to begin at verse 16, but I really want you to kind of focus and see how all of this story builds to verse 21. Just then, a man came up to Jesus. He said, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, why do you ask me about what's good? There's only one who's good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. All attractive ideas. All this I kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, you want to be perfect? Go. Sell your possessions, give them to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And the young man heard this and went away sad because he had great wealth. What Jesus is offering us is total commitment. Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I tell you, it's hard for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. This takes us beyond finding healing. And it says it's going to cost. They said to Jesus in their astonishment, who could be saved? Who could follow you? Jesus looked at them. He said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter answered. He said, we left everything to follow you. Remember? He called him down by the sea. We left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake, in order to follow me, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Jesus asked a lot. If you're going to follow Jesus, it means total commitment. It can't be a half-hearted thing. It has to be total. And you know, the other thing that I'm struck with is Jesus called those men to come now. His call is not one that you can put off until you get to a convenient time. Let me do this first. Jesus said, leave your father, leave your boat, leave your nets, come, follow me. And I get the impression that Jesus didn't slow down when he said it. He just kept walking. And Jesus said, now, let's go. Look at Matthew, the 8th chapter. Beginning in Matthew 8 at verse 18, but I want you to kind of focus on verse 22 and seeing how complete Jesus is with the idea, it's now. Beginning at verse 18, Matthew 8. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave them orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Sometimes the crowds got so big around Jesus that he just had to escape. They would have mauled him. The teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm committed wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Let me take care of some things first, and then I'll follow you. And Jesus said, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. It's now. Now or never. I'm also impressed that Jesus said, you have to understand that if you're going to follow me, you're going to stay with me all the way to the end. If you're going to follow me, at some point, it's going to get really dangerous. John, the 12th chapter, at verse 26, Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor him who serves me. Yes, we're going to enjoy honor with Christ. We're going to enjoy honor that comes from the Father because we follow Jesus. But just understand where this path goes. You can't follow Jesus until it gets tough and then say, well, let me kind of go a little bit over here. You follow Jesus all the time. That's a hard lesson for Peter to learn, wasn't it? I'm going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. And then Jesus is arrested. He's on trial. He's taken into the inner court of the high priest. Peter is right there with him. And they say, oh, you were with him. What did Peter think? I'm in trouble. Because I was with him. Not only are they going to kill him, they might kill me. And Peter kind of fell apart. Now we'll talk about all of those things as we continue our discussions. But I do want to conclude with this. Jesus' call is personal. He doesn't call the church at Coburg Road to follow him. Oh, he does that. But he's not really calling the church at Coburg Road. He's calling Jane. Come, follow me. And it's Matt. Come, follow me. It's an interesting thing that happens in the 21st chapter of the book of John. Peter is following Jesus, and he looks around and he sees John. And he's taken by the fact that he sees John, and he's kind of evaluating the way he's following Jesus, and he wants to know what's going to happen to John. That's like me saying, I really want to follow Jesus. What about Lenny? This is what happened in John, the 21st chapter. We'll begin reading at verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciples that Jesus loved was following there. This is the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper. He said, Lord, who's going to betray you? Now, I know from reading the story about what happened when Jesus was celebrating the Passover before he was going to be crucified. I know who that was. It was John. Peter saw him. He asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I wanted to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? John is not the important one. Peter, you're the important one. And if he was talking to John, he would say the same thing. Peter's not the important one. John, you're the important one. You're not following Peter. You're not following John. You're not following Lenny. You're not following Ted. You're following Jesus. And those other people, they don't matter, in a sense. It's personal. It's a question that I have to answer. Am I going to follow Jesus? And I have to answer it for myself and to myself. Now, ultimately, I answer it to God. Am I going to follow Jesus?
Oh, Dad.
It's my decision. And it's an important one. We're going to talk more about this. We'll expand these ideas that we've just kind of suggested this morning. And we'll talk a little bit more about what it means to follow Jesus. It is a good thing. And if there's something we can do to help you follow Jesus, we want to do that. It'll be your decision, but we want to help in any way that we can. We will eventually talk about what it means to make that decision and how you would come to follow Jesus, what it takes for you to do that, But if you've read your Bibles and you know what Jesus expects if you're going to follow him, he wants you to put him on. You do that in baptism. Accepting, confessing that he is the Son of God. Turn away from a life of sin. And he will take you, introduce you to his Father. It may be that you started following Jesus and you got sidetracked, kind of like Peter did. You need to return to him. You need to pray, ask for his forgiveness. He's promised he would forgive.